from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up at 9 this morning, California Assembly Speaker Anthony Rendon has said that the state faces a major existential threat under President Donald Trump. We'll talk to Speaker Rendon about the challenges California may face under the new administration and about his legislative priorities, including housing, transportation, and health care for this term. Then at 9:30, we bring you a live broadcast of a news conference, press conference with President Donald Trump. Join us for Forum. Up ahead after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. Several weeks after the election of President Donald Trump, California Assembly Speaker Anthony Rendon said in a speech to lawmakers that the state faced a major existential threat. The Los Angeles Democrat has since taken vocal stands against President Trump's executive orders on immigration and has urged California to fight to preserve its progressive laws and policies. But Rendon also resists limiting his agenda to opposing the president, remarking this week that even if Hillary Clinton had been elected, California would still be confronting an array of challenges, including an affordable housing crisis, inadequate transportation infrastructure, and high child poverty rates. Speaker Rendon joins us to talk about his priorities for the legislature, where his party enjoys a two-thirds supermajority in both houses. And we welcome Anthony Rendon, who is Speaker of the California State Assembly and Democratic Assemblyman from Los Angeles. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you here, and I welcome you. Let me just begin by talking a bit about Donald Trump. I know you're tired of it. You said that, in fact, to the California Publishers Association recently, Newspaper Publishers Association. But I think it's fair to say that you need to build firewalls, and I think this has been said. And in the wake of a lot of threats and the like, you and President Pro Tem De Leon have sort of set yourselves up as oppositions, especially on immigration.
Sure, we have, and we're continuing to build firewalls. We're continuing to build firewalls, particularly with respect to some of the legislation that we worked on recently, as well as the legislation that we're going to work on in this upcoming year. I think retaining the Covington law firm led by Eric Holder was a big step forward in terms of making sure that our legislation and our pending legislation is insulated, if you will, from threats from the federal government.
And what legislation are we talking about specifically?
Well, it's difficult to say. I mean, the president has aimed his targets at virtually every aspect of what we've been doing here in California recently, whether it's our climate change efforts, whether it's efforts toward making sure that workers are protected. We want to make sure that everything that we've done, all that we've accomplished here in the state is protected from whatever and wherever the president decides to start dismantling some of our progress.
Well, that may start with $20 billion at stake with the Affordable Care Act if it's replaced or repealed.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've been looking at what could possibly happen with ACA. Obviously, there are still conversations ongoing in Congress. We have some allies there, but it does appear as though the president, well, I mean, throughout the campaign, the president talked about his opposition to ACA. To your point, yeah, we've seen where the starting point would likely be $20 billion in cost to the state if ACA were repealed.
You mentioned bills and legislation. We ought to say there's a big transportation bill in the works under consideration and a couple of big housing bills.
Absolutely. There's a good seven or eight housing bills that we're working on that we will work on this year and a huge transportation package. You know, we were really happy with our success last year in the legislature, whether it was the five tobacco bills that we passed, the five anti-gun bills that we passed, the raising of the minimum wage to $15, a 78-year battle to give farm workers overtime was finally won. But the two areas where we came up a little bit short were housing and transportation. And throughout the fall and winter, as I traveled throughout the state from places like the Inland Empire to the East Bay, to the Central Coast, and everywhere in between those points, we saw how housing and transportation are problems that are impacting Californians of all levels, of all income levels, but particularly with respect to folks who are trying to sort of gain access into the middle class. I mean, larger proportions of folks' income, family income, is spent on housing and transportation, and it has a huge impact on the lives of everyday Californians, and we're going to focus on those two efforts.
Focus on with plans of action? Are we talking about serious plans of action here that will really change and move the needle?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a proposal right now, a transportation proposal, to make sure that we get essentially billions of dollars of ongoing funds especially for our roads. It seems like a lot of local entities have done stuff for transit, particularly in the November elections, obviously. Los Angeles, Stanislaus, a number of counties passed huge transit efforts in the November election, but we want to make sure that our roads are taken care of as well.
We're speaking with Speaker of the California Assembly, Assemblymember Anthony Rendon, and this is a half-hour segment. I would certainly invite calls at this point. We do want to hear from you, any questions or comments you might have for the Speaker. Our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, if you'd like to join us. Again, it's a half-hour segment, so now would be the time for you to call again at 866-733-6786. You can also, of course, email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. You've mentioned on a number of occasions that 2.5 million children living in poverty and have said even if Hillary Clinton were the president, we'd still have that problem and still have to be looking for ways to ameliorate it. Again, what's under investigation here? What's going to be the course of action?
Well, last year we took a big step forward by increasing our funding of the Earned Income Tax Credit program, the state version of the Earned Income Tax Credit program. I think that'll go a long way toward starting to battle poverty in our state. Another thing that we did last year was increasing early childhood education by about $530 million. I actually got involved in politics because of this issue.
You were ticked off at Schwarzenegger, I remember.
I was ticked off at Schwarzenegger, exactly. I was running a series of Head Start agencies in Los Angeles County, and funding was cut by about $1.2 billion from state preschool, state child care programs. Really inspired me to get involved in politics. Holly Mitchell, who's now in the state Senate, preceded me from making the transition from early childhood education to politics. But early childhood education, I think, is – I met recently with a rather conservative economist, and I asked him what's the best way to eliminate poverty. And I thought he was going to talk about anything other than early childhood education. And all he talked about was early childhood education programs. And you see the Republican governor in Oklahoma has embraced – early childhood education as well. So those are some of the things we did last year. In terms of moving forward, I think we need to continue to make sure that our public schools are of the highest quality, particularly with respect to low-cost, high-quality public education in our state. That's important as well. And there are fewer and fewer pathways for folks into the middle and upper classes, and higher education is one of them. We need to make sure we maintain not only the integrity of our system, but also the affordability as well.
Well, we've got a lot of battles ahead, and there's going to have to be some triage. Is it fair to say that fighting Trump policies in California and immigration and ICE raids and the threat of federal funding costs to sanctuary cities may have to be more important than some of the other things that we've mentioned here that are of obvious great importance to citizens?
I think we have to follow both paths. I mean, I obviously, when the federal administration begins to attack the rights of Californians and the values of Californians, we're not going to leave ourselves. We're going to fight back. At the same time, and you were right, you quoted a speech I gave yesterday to the Newspaper Association. Look, if Donald Trump had not been elected president, we would have started this year with significant problems in this state. And I think for us, obviously, it's incumbent upon us to deal with those problems. But if we're going to sort of draw distinctions between California and the federal government and continue to talk about California as a model for the rest of the country, we need to take care of the issues that I've talked about. We need to take care of housing. We need to take care of education. We need to take care of transportation.
Well, we're going to find out what's important to our listeners. We're going to bring them into this. And in fact, let me go to a Facebook comment, first of all, for you, Speaker Rendon. Jennifer writes on Facebook, I'd like to see the Assembly focus on our infrastructure. We are getting a reality check in Oroville. Our dams and levees are life and one of the cornerstones of our state. And before we even think about the new, I'm all for making sure the old is good and secure.
Well, if that's a Facebook comment, then I'll like Jennifer's comment because I agree. I think we've done in my 5 years, 4.5 years in the legislature, we have started to address infrastructure. I was the author of the water bond a couple of years ago that helped to start our infrastructural investments in water. Keep in mind that despite all the efforts of that water bond, it was only responsible for about 5% of our overall infrastructural needs. We've ignored, to Jennifer's point, we've ignored a lot of our infrastructural needs for literally a generation in California, whether it's water, transportation, or housing. And we need to address it as soon as possible. Oroville is a great example of that. I toured the Oroville Dam about a year and a half ago, and it was ironically and interestingly enough, it was a quote unquote drought tour. We were looking at the Oroville Dam because we wanted to see how low it was, and how little water was actually in the dam. Now, obviously, you see the overflow of the emergency spillway and all of that. And it just, I think, points it helps to illustrate the extent to which we need to maintain an infrastructural system that's stable, because you never know what the future holds.
Once again, we're talking to Assemblymember Anthony Rendon, who is a speaker of the California State Assembly. And I'm going to bring your calls on. Let me go first to Lisa. Lisa, join us.
Yes, thank you for your work. I'm on Medi-Cal, which in California has one of the worst reimbursement rates in the country, and that Jerry Brown never raised those rates back up after the 2009 recession. And, I mean, we are not going to be able to afford covering any of our bills if we don't change Prop 13 and start taxing some of those offshore oil rigs and fracking. I mean, California may be progressive in many ways, but its taxing of high-income people and businesses is more like the South. And I think I would like to know how it is that Massachusetts was able to have a alternative health care system way long ago, and we can't in California when we were one of the richest states in the country. So, I mean, really, we need to
now, Massachusetts had Governor Romney at the time. I'm being a little facetious here, Anthony Rendon, because I notice you've already put your stake in the governor's race by saying that you're behind Treasurer Chiang.
Right. Yeah, I've endorsed the
I mean, Chung. Yeah, excuse me.
Yeah, I've endorsed the treasurer, who's a longtime friend, and I think has been a great public official in California. I think he'd make a great governor. To the caller's point.
Yeah, to the caller's point, please.
Right, to the caller's point about Medi-Cal, and you're right. What happened in Massachusetts, was under a Republican governor, and they did something before California did something, I think, important for a lot of their residents. The caller talked a lot about revenue enhancements. I've been talking about an oil excise tax since I was the executive director of the California League of Conservation Voters. And we do need to look at revenue. There are some proposals on the table. There's a Senate proposal to look at services, I think, to look at taxing services. I think that has to be looked at within the overall context of California's taxation system. And with respect to Medi-Cal, yeah, we've been fighting for quite some time in the legislature to make sure that reimbursement rates are increased. I believe it's December 1st of every year we have a Medi-Cal event in our district, and folks talk repeatedly about the impact of not increasing rates and the impact that has on them.
I've got another caller on healthcare. Dick, go ahead. You're on the air. Join us.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Anthony. Yeah, I'll reiterate, you know, twice during Schwarzenegger's tenure, the legislature sent single-payer health care bills to him to sign, which he vetoed. And, Michael, you had Dan Walters on a month or two ago, and when I brought up this issue, he totally poo-pooed the idea that the legislature would even consider single-payer health care. And, Anthony, I'm just really curious, because all of us are out here terrified of losing our affordable care. And you got to, if you ask Californians, I tell you, it's the number one priority with all of us. And I just think that now's the time to do this and show the country the way. And yeah, Massachusetts did a great start, but I'm just curious what you think the potential for doing this is. And it's the most important thing I can think of, and I'll take my answer off the air.
But thank you for the question, Dick. Let me go to Speaker Rendon.
Thanks, Dick. I was supportive of single payer before I had ever heard of ACA or Obamacare. I think now, obviously now that ACA is in place and ACA is whatever the Republicans in Congress want to do with ACA, whether they want to repeal it or replace it, I think while those balls are in motion, I think we're going to have to sort of figure out what they're doing. Again, we have some ties to the Republican delegation and the Democrats in Congress, and we're going to try to work with them. But I understand being scared. I hear this from residents in my district all the time. I hear this from relatives all the time about what a lack of health care coverage would mean for residents. Again, I talked earlier about running early childhood education programs and social service agencies. In a lot of instances, when I was running early childhood education programs, if the children weren't in that program, they would not have access to a doctor. And you start to see the early onset of disease and of sort of poor habits that start to take place if children don't get access to doctors and to healthcare coverage. And you start to think about the impact of extending that to older folks and Californians of all age groups. It's a very scary reality.
Speaker Rendon, I'm looking at my iPad here, and there is some pushback, particularly on immigration. I'd like you to respond to, if you would, be so kind. Paul writes, the premise of the speaker's attack on Trump is suspicious and self-serving. Define California. Your California may be different than mine. Mine is overrun by foreigners who are being given our jobs. Your so-called defense may undermine many Californians and embolden foreign invaders. Your paranoia about Trump may not be shared by rational people, but rational people may be concerned about your actions.
Well, I'm very respectful of his opinion. I think the vast majority of Californians agree that immigration has had a very positive effect on our economy. I think the vast majority of Americans, the vast majority of Californians believe that immigration has had a positive effect on – if you go into virtually any classroom in California, you see the diversity. You see children who were born in different countries, and you start to think about the impact that has on our state, and it's overall a positive one.
More of your calls. Let me go to Wynn next in Menlo Park. Wynn, welcome.
Thank you. I must admit to a level of confusion. I thought I heard all this talk coming out of the Washington administrations that they're going to start having block grants and send things back to the states to do, and yet this morning we just heard that the House of Representatives voted against the states having 401k programs. Can you help me understand what's going on?
I can't. I'm quite confused by a lot of what comes out of the administration as well. There seems to be a lot of doublespeak. There seems to be quite a bit of contradiction. I think to sort of find rationality in some of what this administration is doing is very difficult for me. And I think from the standpoint of the California legislature, that's why we're continuing to work on a rational course of action to address issues like housing, to address issues like transportation, to address issues like higher education. We don't believe that the federal government is necessarily serving the best interests of Americans or Californians, and we're going to do our best to make sure that we are doing so.
We've become more the isolated blue state, though. We've become, in many people's minds, an island unto ourselves, about the sixth biggest economy in the world, but more and more perhaps removed from the United States as a union. In fact, I'm looking at a listener comment here. This listener writes, Trump is well on his way to becoming the worst president in American history, but even so, he isn't an existential threat to California. The state will not disappear during his reign. This kind of hyperbole is how Trump talks.
Well, actually, in your introduction, I do believe I said that Trump was an existential threat to the United States, and I was talking specifically to American democracy. And you see, whether it's attacking the media or questioning the validity of court decisions, I think he has proven that he doesn't.
He's also after intelligence services now, it would seem.
After intelligence services as well. So I think he's proven that he doesn't quite care about separation of powers or just the most fundamental aspects of accountability and oversight. As far as California is concerned, yeah, our economy is continuing to grow. It's uneven. We need to make sure that our inland areas are continue to thrive as well as our coastal areas. But our economy is continuing to grow. Like you said, the sixth largest economy in the world. We have the best public university system in the world. Our unemployment rate continues to drop. So California is continuing to prosper.
A university system, which you have said publicly, is under attack in many ways, too.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, the president tweeted, because that's what he does, suspending or cutting, I can't remember what he said, funding to the University of California system, which if you begin to think about the graduates that system has produced and the wealth that the system has produced and the great minds that system has produced, for someone to speak in those terms is irresponsible, but actually quite consistent with who he is.
Let me get Michael on here. Michael, join us. You're on.
Oh, hi there. I'm from Castro Valley, and I hope the speaker can maybe focus on very local governance issues for unincorporated communities. We're about 10% of the state population, and structurally, we really need reform. We don't have in our community 63,000 the ability to vote a local council. Something called a vehicle license fee a few years ago was changed and affected how cities can be incorporated.
Michael, we're real tight on time, so let me go to the speaker on this. Speaker Rendon.
The speaker's point is well taken. We've looked at what's fascinating about California government is the extent to which we have so many. I think we have over 1,000 water districts, and our system of government is exceptionally complicated. We have Susan Eggman, who is chairing our accountability committee, and I know that she's looking at some of those issues. And we see issues with local governance continuing to be problematic in our state.
Speaker Rendon, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your being with us.
Thank you.
That's Assemblymember Anthony Rendon, who is Speaker of the California State Assembly and Democratic Assemblyman from the Los Angeles area. We're coming up, I believe, on a live news conference, so stay tuned for that. We're going to go to Washington. You'll hear President Donald Trump, and he will be addressing a fairly full newsroom. We'll be waiting with bated breath to see who he'll call on in that full newsroom, but stay tuned for that. It's up ahead. Thank you for joining us. I'm Michael Krasny.